Nothing to see here. We're all good. Just wasn't feeling great. And we thought, you know what? Take a day. Halford can steer the ship. We have a terrific lineup of guests today, including our next one. You heard him on the call all year long for the Blue Jays, now on ESPN Radio, doing this World Series. Dan Shulman now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I did spend a lot of time trying to figure out what the big narrative, big story, and big takeaway was from Game 1, and then I realized there was far too many of them. There was a lot that was going on in that game. I suppose the one that's going to grab the most headlines, and it has, and rightfully so, is the one that has the bit of, you know, tragedy and the heroic story to it, and that was Charlie Morton, who broke his leg during the game, still managed to pitch, I think it was 16 pitches, on a broken fibula. I'm assuming as you're calling that game and you're watching this unfold, there's got to be a sense of how gut-wrenching that is, because that's going to rule him out until the spring now, so that's effectively ended Charlie Morton's World Series.
Yeah, and so he got hit by the comebacker by Yuli Gurriel in the second inning. But, you know, he waved off the dugout, and the trainer didn't even come out, nothing. And then he finished the thing, and he walked off the field, and it was completely out of my mind. Like, I just moved on. And then he comes out, and he strikes out Altuve. And the next thing I know, he's kind of leaning over, like bent at the waist, hands on his knees kind of thing. And we were like, boy, what happened? Did he land awkwardly, or, you know, stick a cleat on the mound or something? And I, for a moment, I'd completely forgotten about the comebacker because it didn't look like it was an issue. But, you know, Charlie Morton is as good a guy, as good a teammate, as earnest, sincere, thoughtful a guy as there is in baseball. And it just kind of breaks your heart that something like that would happen, especially for a guy who's, you know, near the back end of his career. He's almost 38 years old. So in typical Charlie Morton fashion, he apologized to his teammates and his coaches and his manager after the game as if there were anything that he could do about it. But it's a huge loss for the Braves. I mean, they did win the game, so they would only have used him one more time, probably, right, in a game five. But it's just a huge loss for them. And more than anything, I just feel badly for him.
No, because it's interesting because, you know, I think under any other circumstance, the biggest takeaway would have been that the Braves, who were fairly significant underdogs in a lot of sports books going into this World Series, came out 1-6-2 in Houston, in game one, got to Framber Valdez. I mean, in all regards, that should have been the storyline, but the Morton thing was number one. And then, you know, you turn to Valdez as the storyline number two, really failed to carry over that terrific form he showed in the ALCS, especially in game five. It sounded like nerves were at play, but it was five runs in just two-plus innings, and that was really the story for the Astros there, is that the Braves jumped out early, got to that lead, and then they were able to lean on their pen and take it from there.
Yeah, it's funny with Valdez. He's been really bad, really great, really bad, his last three starts, like no middle ground. And I would think, you know, pitching the way that he did in game five of the American League Championship Series, that, you know, is the World Series an extra level of nerves? I don't know, but literally from the first pitch of the game, he didn't look right.
Right.
And the third pitch of the game was hit out of the ballpark. And he was 1-0, 2-0, 3-1, instead of being 0-1, 0-2, like he was constantly in game five of the championship series. The Atlanta bullpen was great last night. Brian Snitker needed and used his top four guys. And what I love about the way they're doing it, and it's October, you can't do this all season, but all of them are capable of going more than an inning. And I think three of the four went more than an inning last night. And there are so many teams where, well, he's not comfortable getting up and down, and we think he's best for three outs. And I think guys got to get pushed a little bit more. And Atlanta has the kinds of guys, and Minter and Matzek specifically, who not only can do it, they ask to do it. They remind their manager that they're capable of doing it. But I'll give you a crazy World Series stat. I don't know if you've read this or talked about this morning.
Okay.
Excluding last year, because there was neutral site, no fans, right? So the road team has won the last 10 World Series games with fans there. So Houston lost last night. In 2019, Houston, Washington, the road team won all seven games, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And the last two games of 2018, the Red Sox won in Los Angeles. So the home team has lost the last 10 games in the World Series. Just mystifying how that can happen.
Well, it's a great stat to bring up because everyone wants to say, you know, it's the first game of the World Series. You know, there's still, it's a long series to be played. But the reality is now there is an awful lot of pressure for Houston to win game two, which of course goes tonight. Because you fall into that 0-2 hole and all of a sudden it's now you've got to go back to Atlanta. Atlanta's got control of this series. At the same time, I look at that and say, yeah, but this was an Astros team that doesn't really ever seem to panic. They were down, I believe it was 2-1 to Boston in the CS. and down in the eighth inning of game four. So they've been kind of not necessarily to the brink, but awfully close to it before, and they managed to get through it. But I think the only really real conclusion that I came to is that you can't just say that game one, as you pointed out with that stat, is just the first game in the series. It means a lot more. And suddenly, this game two, there's a lot of different ramifications that are going to come from this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every game means so much in a series. Mm-hmm. But Dusty Baker will tell you, and he's told me on multiple occasions, that this Houston team, you walk into the clubhouse and you don't know if they're up or down, hot or cold, good or bad. They were also, not only, as you said, down 2-1 in the ALCS this year to Boston, they were down 3-0 in the ALCS to Tampa Bay last year,
right,
and got it to a game seven. And he feels this team is able to block out the noise, and obviously there's a lot of noise around the Astros, but that they're able to block out the noise and stay focused and stay confident as much as any team that he's ever managed. Now, I am not seeing that in Alex Bregman right now. He looks like a different guy. But in terms of Correa, Altuve, Gurriel, some of the others, I do see it. But this game is huge, and they've got kind of a wild card on the mound in Jose Urquidy, who has only pitched once in the postseason. He was supposed to pitch game four of the division series, but they got rained out, so it got pushed back. So they started McCullers because he was now on regular rest. So Urquidy didn't pitch at all in the division series, and he only pitched once, and not very well and not very long, in the championship series. So, you know, he's a bit of an unknown, I think, although he's had some playoff success in the past, did it back in 2019. And Atlanta, of course, has one of their guys going in, Max Fried. So, you know, on paper, you give a bit of an advantage to the Braves, but I am curious which of those relievers, I talked about how durable and resilient they are, but, you know, which of them is able to pitch again today. I suspect all of them, with the exception of Minter, will be able to go. So if Brad Minter still has three of those four guys, he's in pretty good shape.
I'm glad you mentioned Mintner and Matzek, because, you know, talking about the guys that come in, the leverage arms, if you will, it's not exactly the sexiest topic for sports talk radio. We want to talk about the big dramatic storylines, but the reality is that, and this was in Jeff Passan's piece yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, is that the Astros are going to win this series. They're going to probably have to beat Minter or Matzek at some point in the series. It didn't happen in game one. They were great, even though they both gave up a run each, if I'm not mistaken. But that's an interesting angle for this, is that the key might be those two guys and whether or not the Astros can get to them.
Yeah, and certainly the Dodgers didn't. And as you said, the Astros did a little bit, but not great. They got to Matzek actually pretty well. They didn't do a whole lot against Minter. But it is going to be a huge storyline, because Houston's got this great deep lineup, and they alternate right, left, right, left, right, left. And ironically, it was the lefties who did better against the lefties in Minter and Matzek last night. It was Brantley. It was Alvarez. It was Tucker. Those are the guys who had the good night. The Astros got nothing out of Altuve, Correa, Bregman. You know, they're big-time right-handed batters. And Atlanta, and I don't know if this is Brian Snitker being, you know, a guy who's been in baseball forever. I mean, Dusty Baker has been too. But, you know, like I said, they push them. It's not just the matchups, and it's not just lefty on lefty. Brian Snitker says these guys are good against both sides, and I trust them. Just because they're left-handed doesn't mean I don't trust them against right-handed batters. So they're going to go in there and do the job. And in October, it's always about who's in the circle of trust. Who do you really trust to come out of the bullpen? And Brian Snitker knows who he trusts. These are the four guys that he trusts. So he's going to ride them. I think regardless of what the matchups are, he's going to ride these four guys as much as he can.
Game two of the World Series goes tonight back at Minute Maid Park in Houston. Dan, thank you very much for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. It should be a good one. And we can do this again later on down the road.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.